What is going on, everybody? Chaos and calamity as the Badgers collapse in Columbus. So, yeah, it's a therapy session. Let's be angry about it. Let's be frustrated about it. Let's most of all do it together on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? I already see people lining up in the queue. We're going to get Scott on the show. Again, listen, this is at least something we can do together. This is frustrating. It stinks. It's the therapy session. I do want to thank everybody for coming on, joining the show. It is what it is. Scott, man, let's jump in with you first.
God!
Remember, this is a family show, and not just for you, for everyone who comes on. We can't swear on this show. It is a family show, but
I held back.
You did hold back. That was a disaster.
So bad. I mean, is it our worst loss since we lost to them in, 2014? The worst one?
Big Ten championship game is probably worse, right? Just given the circumstance of it.
Was that 2012? When was that?
I thought that was before 14. I don't know. My brain is, but is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah. It's the worst loss since then.
Absolutely. 100%. I just want to get into it. Like, I already see Steve in the queue, man. We got a bunch of comments. Steve, we're going to jump to you next. So let's bring you in, make sure this all works. Steve, what's up, man? Thank you for dialing in.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I guess, you know, it doesn't surprise me we lost to these guys. It's been a long time since we beat them. I've been a Badger fan since back in the late 60s, so I've seen some bad football. I guess my concern, not just with how we lost, but how far the two programs seem to be just falling farther and farther away from each other. And I think my biggest concern is with the NCAA. And I know they're not going to do this. I've mentioned it to a lot of friends. But I really think the academic standards in some of these schools have got to be raised almost to as high as a Notre Dame, Wisconsin level. Now, I know your Alabamas and your Ohio States will never do it. But I tell you what, if that changes, that changes everything. A lot of those kids are not going to Ohio State. They're not going to Alabama. They might not even be playing Division I football, which is fine with me. I think too many of these colleges like Ohio State, Alabama, these kids are just there to play football. They're not there to go to school. And I'm seeing it more and more where these kids are. I can't be that much of a disparity in talent. It's just, I think a lot of these kids just go there to play football. They don't go to classes. I'm positive that I'm telling the truth on that.
Well, I think Cardale Jones said that. That's got to be a problem. Right? Cardale Jones, the old Ohio State quarterback, said that basically.
Yeah,
right? I'm here to play football, not go to school.
Exactly.
I hear you, man. Where are you at on, and again, appreciate the call. Where are you at on Paul Christ? Are you in the bandwagon that's getting frustrated, or are you still in kind of the Paul Christ side of this?
Well, I've often said, I've said this to friends, I think he's a great coordinator. He did a great job when he was the offensive coordinator with Barry and when Barry was here. And I think that's probably where he could probably be. As far as a head coach, I'm beginning to wonder if maybe he's not the answer. We need somebody in there. Again, here's another thing I say to friends too. When a program starts to fall, I don't think we've fallen that far for football. I think we're doing good. I look at the hockey program. I look at other programs that have done this. I don't think we should always go within the ranks of who we've gotten before, players and stuff coming in. If you're going to get another head coach, I would suggest if they're going to do it, they go outside and get somebody that has no idea what Wisconsin football is. And I mean a guy that can come in here and do it on his terms, not the Wisconsin way, but his terms. I hear too many times when we get coaches in here at Wisconsin, you know, they've been players, former players. They've played in the program. It's the Wisconsin way. Well, I don't always think that works. I think if you look at programs over the course of the years, Alvarez never, he was not from here when we hired him.
It's true.
You can go back to Lombardi. He wasn't in Green Bay. They had no idea who he was. And there's other programs that you can go back. Al McGuire back in the days when Marquette, he wasn't from Milwaukee. They brought him in from the outside. And you look at all those coaches that have done that. Bob Johnson, there's another one. you know, he turned it around.
So you wouldn't would not be a Jim Leonard guy, not to cut you off, but he's a Wisconsin guy.
No, I'm not saying Jim Leonard wouldn't be a bad coach, but I would think if I'm going to hire somebody, I want to open it up to everybody. I want to see look at a guy like Lance Leopold. Look at what he's doing in Kansas right now.
He'll be a great guy, yeah.
Now look at what he's done. I mean, I watched him through the years at Whitewater. He's a coach that just seems to get it. I say open it up to anybody. And see who the best guy is that can get this program going on the right foot if they think it's going bad. And it doesn't have to be a Jim Leonard. Maybe there's somebody out there we're not seeing. But open it up to everybody if it needs to be changed.
Yeah, and I think that's a good take.
If Jim is the answer, then I give it to him. But I would really like to see him open it up if this happens where they do make a change and open it up to everybody.
Yeah, that's a good take. Steve, man, I really do appreciate the call. I've got four or five people in the queue. I want to make sure I get to them.
No problem.
Thank you so much for jumping on, man. I really do appreciate it. Ben, Tony, TJ, I see all you in the queue. A bunch of comments. Mitchell Bylak, obviously, said Lance Leopold. Scott, I want to come back to you here for a second. We were talking before the show. You had talked yourself into this being a game where we were there, like at least in terms of being able to play a spoiler, in terms of maybe throwing Ohio State some wrenches. At what point did you give up in this game?
After it was 14-0, I knew it was over. And then I realized and I apologized and admitted in the Discord, I was never going to let it happen again. Like this delusional hopefulness. I really like that take. I think the automatic assumption of, and we covered a lot of ground there. And a lot of history there, which I appreciate. My dad's a longtime Wisconsin sports fan, so I get a lot of, you know, historical perspective there as well. There's been a lot of nepotism there in Wisconsin. And I got to say, tonight, one of the weakest links was our defense. I mean, Leonard got out-schemed from the get-go. I mean, just murdered. It was brutal. And Leonard's done a really good job. And I'll be honest with you, I would be totally fine with him getting a few years to see what he could do. As I said before the season even started, I guarantee you he's got connections with a lot of young, other bright minds at OC that he could pull in. And I would like to be able to see what he could do. But I'm convinced that it would be a good idea to just open it up. And just give everybody a fair chance with the last caller. That does make sense to me. And it's hard to argue the fact that Leopold is not an extremely attractive candidate right now, having those Wisconsin roots. Like that's very attractive.
Yeah.
Well, he's done it at KU, a place that has just been
looks good.
Deathbed. I mean, it has been an absolute football cemetery for what, 10, 15 years.
And they look good. Now, I want to keep this. I want to steer this back to Ohio State. And that was kind of my fault for getting off tack there with the coaching question. Ben, we're coming up to you next, and then TJ, and then BT in the queue. I want to give really quick before we jump to anybody, just my 30-second, because this is the therapy session. And honestly, I try to be pretty level-headed in a lot of my stuff, but I got to be honest, this game absolutely ticked me off. And I would use other words, but this is a family show. There was points in the game in the first half where the announcers were clowning the game. Like, it was over. They were interviews. This was an embarrassment. We looked like a MAC school on defense, on offense, on special teams. It was an embarrassment. And I don't know, man. I don't even know where to start because there's no bright spots. Ben, we're coming up to you next. Again, everybody waiting in the queue, all the questions we're going to get to as much as we can. This is your show. This is 100% about us coming together, being upset together, building the community. Ben, let's do it. What's going on, Ben?
Nolan Winter.
We got Nolan Winter.
Hey, what's up?
I thought I saw you on camera a second ago, Ben. Now I don't see you.
Yeah, my connection's not great, so I'm just going to keep the camera off to try to save some bandwidth.
No worries.
So, you know, it's funny. I kind of expected them to score around 21 points. I just didn't think that most of them or all of them arguably would be in garbage time. I honestly, and this is part of me just being kind of the eternal optimist as a fan, I thought it would be a little closer, maybe like 35-21. But this was just an embarrassment, honestly. I didn't get to see the beginning of it, unfortunately, but I got a text from my dad saying something like, where is our defense? This is embarrassing, and I knew we might not want to turn it on.
Yeah. It was longtime friend of the show, Justin Jilka, who is not on here for some reason, but he sent me a text. I was behind on the game, Ben. Like, for some reason, I had a delay, and Justin was already like, our defense is terrible. I'm like, stop texting me, Justin. You're ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I saw the bad stuff coming before I saw it. I 100% agree, dude. It was a total disaster. Ben, thank you so much for jumping on the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Can I just
please
give my one insight on the coaching thing? Like, I shouldn't say insight, but just a thought I had. I think, honestly, to save the offense, unless you can go out and get like one of these Lincoln Riley, Ryan Day type head coaches that are just always going to have a great college offense, I think a defensive guy like Jim Leonard is the best option for head coach, because he's not going to have like a view like, oh, this offense is my baby. I don't want it to change. It's exactly how it is. And if it's not like that, then, you know, I'm losing my control over the team. And I think that's kind of what's gotten to Paul Christ a little bit, because of, you know, kind of the traditional power run game, like that traditional offensive identity for Wisconsin. He's been kind of scared to open it up. But a guy like Leonard, I think, with more of his hands in on the defense, would be more open to getting someone who, you know, wants to open it up. I think a great name, you know, if Bobby Engram didn't stick around, if Chris was out, would be like, I have his name on the tip of my tongue. He's a head coach for Idaho now, but he played at Wisconsin. He's got a good run game, but it's very like spread based. And I think, you know, you can use that to sling the ball around a little more. I think that would be a great fit for Wisconsin to kind of modernize the traditional identity of the team.
It feels kind of like the Ohio State offense in a way, more of a spread concept, but you can run power out of it. Yeah. I think that's a really good point, Ben. And again, thank you so much for jumping on the show. I really do appreciate it. I would love to have, by the way, keep all you on longer. I have just a ton of comments, people in the queue. So I want to make sure I get to everybody, but Scott, you and I have talked about this. Paul Christ is iconoclastic in his offensive style. Like, he's not going to change. So
tonight,
I think Ben's point.
The ultimate example of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
TJ, you're up next in the queue.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. No, I wanted you to finish that. I interrupted you.
Yeah. So I wanted to say, too, so the last time we lost this badly was that last Gary Anderson game. And I was just thinking, like, I don't think most people would have been ready after his second year, after the success he had. Like, we hate him now after everything that happened, and we can say he's been an abject failure. But he was solid at Wisconsin. I don't think that people were necessarily at this point with Gary Anderson like they are with Paul Christ now, where they were like, he needs to go and all of this kind of stuff. They might have been – we were concerned, and it was an embarrassing loss, okay, to Ohio State in that championship game. But we had made it to the championship game. We had looked pretty good along the way. And there would have been a couple more years, I think, before we started saying stuff and questioning if he was the guy moving forward. And so now we see from so many fans, and maybe some folks might say it's reactionary, but we've seen this so many times now with Paul Christ. We've seen this exact same game plan. And what I was so frustrated with tonight was the fact that Ohio State, yes, they've got more talent. Yes, they've got more speed. They came out and out-schemed us, though. It wasn't just like, we're going to match you mano a mano and try and bash you. They came out and out-schemed us. They were deceptive. They were, you know, they had play calls ready. They knew what we were going to do on defense, scheming against us. They out-coached us. Ryan Day is a much better coach than Urban Meyer, by the way. A much better coach than Urban Meyer. And his creativity and his outside-the-box thinking and how aggressive he is.
His aggressiveness, 100%.
Every game's a big game. And when it is an actual big game, like every Big Ten game is going to be for them, where they want to score 60 points a game and beat people into submission. That's what we want as Wisconsin fans. And I'm kind of sick of hearing these things, like, whether it be from announcers or, you know, big media or even Wisconsin fans about, well, we'll never have this kind of recruiting and, you know, we're always going to be a developmental program. Dude, tell that to Minnesota right now. They got in a different coach who's changed the entire culture there.
The flex,
and they look completely different.
Yeah.
Okay. You get the right coach in there and everything changes. Everything changes.
No, I agree with you. And TJ, you're up next here. I 100% agree with you, man. I'm going to make this point, and then we're going to jump to TJ, because I definitely want to keep people moving through the queue so you guys aren't waiting forever to make your points. Because, again, this show is about y'all. It's not about me. I just want to say there was a point when Wisconsin's down 21-0. It's 4th-and-1 on the 45-yard line. Oh, and Paul Chris punts the ball. And I'm sorry. Like, that's not the play there. Not when you have Braylon Allen and a giant offensive line. You run the ball. Like, you can't give the ball back to them in that moment. Of course, you gave the ball back. The punting game was atrocious, so not the strategy didn't even work. Dude, they went down, scored a touchdown. Right. It's 28-0. That Ryan Day goes for that 10 out of 10 times if he's in that situation. I'm going to get TJ on here because he's been waiting in the queue since the jump. TJ, man, thank you for jumping on the show. Really appreciate it. How you doing, man?
I'm just hanging in there.
Yes. By a thread.
since about like 2017, like after 2017, it's just been downhill. Cause we were one game away from the college football playoff.
Yep.
And then we haven't touched anything like that since. And Paul Chris, you know, it just seems like every big game he's never able to motivate the team. And I'm not saying he should be fired, but, you know, the AD, somebody should, you know, say, hey, you know, it's time to start winning these big games, or, you know, we might be looking for something fresh, something new. And Graham Mertz, I'm not going to kill him, because it just didn't seem like we just, on both sides of the ball, we just weren't ready.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't set up for success, yeah.
Yeah, that first interception was awful, but other than that, he didn't have much time, and they weren't really separating the wide receivers, and the running game just didn't look, you know, other than that long run from Braylon Allen, like, really late in the game, nothing really happened.
Yeah. And that was against Ohio State's backups, to your point. Like, in the first half when you needed it, we weren't gashing them. You know, we weren't.
Ability. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to your point, TJ, because I think it's a good one. You talked about Paul Chryst, and it didn't really look like we're ready to play. Like, it feels like we're not – I don't want to say we're not motivated or the players aren't ready to go, but it feels like we're not ready at the beginning of the game. I mean, we were down 21-0 before you could snap your fingers in this one.
Yeah, it was really, really embarrassing that – you know, the announcers were talking about playing trivia, and, you know, just it was our defense was that was the worst defensive performance I've ever seen since 2014. I mean, it was awful. And it was a mix of they just were more talented than us, than our wide receiver, I mean, than our corners, and the Jim Limmer just got, you know, out coached. I mean, his head was spinning. You know, it wasn't a good showing. But I don't know where we go from here, because, you know, Minnesota looks really good.
Oh, dude, bro.
Yeah.
And not already lost our first Big Ten play.
That's a big one, yeah.
And, you know, we still got Michigan State on the road. I don't think, you know, they're that good, but we might not be either.
Right. Yeah,
I don't think we are.
Yeah. No, TJ, man, I really appreciate the call, man.
Good points, man. Yeah.
Jump on next week as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. I love it.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. I have to take a quick break, everybody. I have to get, we have to talk to one of our sponsors, BT and Anon. I see you guys in the queue. We're going to get you when we get back. And a ton of comments from Chris, Badgerman, Badgeron, Tanner plays guitar, Zach Ramsey. I see y'all. We're going to get to as much as you can. I'm going to keep Scott here for as long as humanly possible because he's amazing, and I know his insight's incredible. Again, this is just this is it, guys. I mean, at least we can be in pain together. So coming up next, BTN on, we're going to get your thoughts on this. Today's show first, though, is brought to you by our friends at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to spice up your college football fantasy, easy to play while you're doing it. And I didn't do great on my picks this week, but let me cue you in on why this is so much fun. They have individual player props. So Graham Mertz today was 178.5 passing yards over under. I took the over. Chimere Dike was 40.5. I took the over. Clay Cundiff was 25. I took the under on that. So they have a lot of player props that are really easy and fun to play. Allows you to go with a lot of different variety on it. Go make your picks right now. The NFL picks are tomorrow. It's easy to play. Over 30 states is supported already. And it's just, again, you can win cold hard cash every single game. You don't have to wait for the end of the season, your fantasy league to wrap up. It's something that can happen really, really quickly. And it's a lot of fun. Even though I lost today, I enjoy making those picks, and I enjoy just following the individual players around where I'm not always just betting the spreads and the lines on the game. And with Locked On, you get a special offer. Sign up with our promo code Locked On. That's one word, LOCKEDON. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 for free. That's UnderdogFantasy.com. Find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store, Google Play Store. Underdog Fantasy, promo code Locked On. Get in on the college football pick'em action today. Again, I want to thank everybody so, so much for tuning into the show. Y'all really are awesome, the way that we built this community. People like Scott jumping on, all the people being able to get on. This is all about the Badger community, and the way we built it is a reflection of the people we've had on. So that's 100% on all y'all. I really do appreciate it. BT, man, I see you up in the queue. And on, if you dropped off, come back in. BT, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Hey, listen, let me tell you. First of all, I love your show. I listen to you guys every single day. It's the best Badger wrap-up discussion that I've heard in years. So keep doing what you're doing. You guys are fantastic. That's number one.
That means a lot. Thank you.
Hey, second of all, as I've mentioned to my son tonight, I'm literally traumatized. Okay? This is unbelievable. The last time I remember us getting beat up this bad was against Ohio State. And the fact of the matter is that this team is not ready. This didn't happen today. This was something that has been occurring over a long period of time and slowly but surely. And guess what? I love Paul Chryst. He's a great guy and all of that. But the fact of the matter is that our recruiting efforts have been terrible. And I mean, not totally terrible. I mean, we've had good players. I'm not going to say we don't have great players. But what I am saying is that that debacle with our recruiting department was, you know, I think that that's impacted us. That's number one.
Yep.
And finally, I'll say this is the worst linebacker play. Just watch the linebackers. Just watch them. Go back, watch the tape.
Brutal.
They were getting blown up. They were being fooled. They were over pursuing. It was. I'm not as mad at the defensive line as I am the linebackers. They were just. It was just painful. Just painful.
It's like they were seeking out like blockers. It was wild. No.
Yeah. Exactly. It was, and as far as Mertz goes, listen, he is not the worst quarterback in the world. But what I'm concerned about, what happens if Mertz gets hurt? We have no one to back him up. It's the overall program that I'm concerned about, the overall effort that we're putting to ensure that our team is well. I mean, the offensive line, the one thing we've always had is an incredible offensive line. And the way they've played tonight, you know, Logan Brown, I mean, it's painful, I have to tell you. So thank you for allowing us to vent together, because this is just an awful, awful, awful experience tonight for us. You know, thank you very much, guys. Keep up the great work.
No, BT, on that, you're very welcome, my friend, and thank you for jumping in. I want to take actually a couple of your points because I think you made a couple of really good ones. During the game, I texted one of my Badger buddies. You mentioned the linebacker play. And Scott, I don't know if you saw this, like, they're getting no depth in zone. Like, the zone coverage, the linebackers aren't getting deep enough, you know, so they're just throwing over the top of them. In the run game, like, Muma, God love him. And this is not me trying to break anybody down, but Muma is for Iowa, right? Like, he can't play against Ohio State right now for whatever reason. He's not fast enough. CJ Getz is invisible. And quite frankly, there's times where we're taking Nick Herbig, you know, when Ohio State spreads us out and we're putting him out to help cover receiver screens. I just, there's nothing there. I mean, to BT's point, the linebacker play was atrocious this game. Yeah. What was the biggest linebacker play that somebody made today off the top of your head?
The near interception by Herbig, right? Like,
so in the box score, a pass deflection.
It had to be, right?
Like, it has to be.
Yeah.
Let me really quick, before, let me cut you off real quick. BT, man, I'm going to drop you off this just so I can get some comments up. Really, really do appreciate you jumping on. I hope you tune in next week as well. Join the show. Thank you so much for the nice comments, man. I really appreciate it.
Hopefully a W next week.
Okay, Scott, man, a couple things I want to talk about. Then I want to get into, we have a bunch of comments now built up, and I want to make sure I get to as many of those as I can because people are taking the time to write comments. I definitely want to take the time to as much as possible. And Scott, I don't know what your timeline is today. I don't want to monopolize you either, but I definitely want to get to people who take the time to put comments in.
Yeah, all good.
A couple things I wanted to talk about really quick, though, that bothered me. This may be defeatist on my end, and I realize not everybody may share this opinion. When there's 6 minutes left in the 30-point game, take Keanu Benton out of the game. Okay. When you're on the last drive of a 30-point game, take Ches Malusi, your number two running back who missed half of last year with injuries, out of the game. I'm sorry. Like, these are things that drive me nuts. And that might be a me thing. So please, guys, in the comments, let me know. Scott, you tell me if you disagree with me. I didn't even like Braylon Allen in with 7 minutes. I know he broke up a 75-yarder, but the game's over. And we saw Braylon Allen last year break down because he got hit too many times. That 11 carry drive with Braylon Allen, that's awesome. If he got hurt on that, like, Chris needs to be better with the strategic decisions. Like, this is not the Super Bowl. We have a bunch more games to play. If Keanu Benton gets hurt, like, so that bothers me. The other thing that bothered me was the Wildcat stuff. Like, you don't need 7 Wildcats. And by the way, Braylon Allen trying to throw to pick up a 3rd-and-1 is not cute. It's ridiculously overcomplicated. I'm sorry. Like, that's ridiculously overcomplicated. We have 5 receivers we kind of like for this year, right? With Lewis, Allen, DK, Bell, and Ingram. Rucci's been good. We have a big offensive line. We have 3 running backs with Garendo. You don't need to Wildcat and then slip a tight end out and hope that Braylon Allen can hit a 2-yard pass for first down. I'm sorry. That's not cute or clever. It's overcomplicated and ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that the Wildcat was perhaps the biggest indication tonight of Chris having no clue what he's doing. And just being in so far over his head that he thought – that the big wrinkle tonight that was going to get OSU was going to be the freaking Wildcat.
Like, okay? This is not
Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown, right?
This is not Ronnie Brown from 2014 or whatever it is, like unleashing the Wildcat for the first time in NFL history against the New England Patriots, where nobody knows what's coming at you. Dude, to come out and run 6 out of 8 times – when Ohio State, we were all talking about it on Discord, right? When they are going to be flooding those gaps with linebackers every time, because even when Washington State did it, they were destroying our run, okay? And Ohio State, their level of talent is 100 times that of Washington State. We're not fooling anybody. Yeah, the cuteness is like, it's cute like a 2-year-old cute. Like, it's just like, dude, this is... he doesn't get it, man. And I'm sorry, because I agree with that. We all feel the same way. We all love Paul Christ as the man. He is in over his head. He's in over his head. Look at him when the cameras pan the sidelines, man.
It's not a great look.
He is lost. It reminds me of Ted Thompson as a Packers fan. There's a clip of Ted Thompson, you know, unfortunately, you know, RIP. The last year he was in Green Bay, when he's like slobbering, man, on the, he's in so far over his head, and it hurts me because I love Paul Chryst. I want them to be successful with Paul Chryst. I think he's a great man. It's not going to happen. We're never going to get there with Paul Chryst, okay? And the fact that up north, they are getting there right now with PJ Fleck, a guy who's extremely aggressive, who has got that program together. I don't want to make this into Minnesota, but it's hard not to see the differences here when you watch that game earlier in the day and then you watch us play. It's disturbing. We've reached the point where it's disturbing. It's stark. Yeah. It's disturbing.
No, I agree. Let's get some comments on here. Donovan Fitzsimmons, he said in a previous one, fire everybody, fire the whole team. Just kidding. We need a new head coach, Lance Leipold. Yeah, we talked new coaches a little bit, but I want to throw Leipold out there again, who's doing an incredible job at Kansas. Joel Berman, we talked about this. Joel, thank you for the comments. Inside linebackers not doing their job. This is something BT talked about. This is something we talked about. They missed tackles. Turner had a big miss in the hole. He made a nice read, and he just didn't wrap up. Listen, Ohio State averaged 6 yards a carry, and quite frankly, their two lead backs, it was like 8 yards a carry.
It felt like 10 yards a carry.
It was the worst rushing defensive performance we've seen in a long time, and those inside linebackers couldn't get up blocks. And quite frankly, our defense line also got blown off the ball. Like I didn't see James Thompson do anything. I didn't see Rodas really do anything. Gio Paez had a nice penetration on one play, but missed the ball carrier. This is an interesting comment, and I wanted to kick this to you, Scott. This is from T. What did you expect? Because I didn't expect a win.
It's hard for me to separate sometimes, like, my delusional optimism at times before these games, because every time we've played Ohio State, I'm like, dude, odds are at some point we beat this team. I remember growing up with Barry when maybe Ohio State wasn't as talented as they are now. Well, they definitely weren't, but they still had a lot of talent, and we beat them 2 out of 3 years at one point. And, you know, we just feel so far away right now. It feels so far away. I think, like, realistically, it was to stay within 10 to 14 points, a couple touchdowns. And that would have been a dream come true. This game just shows us, this is what I'm thinking. And I said this before this game, though. There are no gimmies in the Big Ten for us. Maybe Northwestern, but we all know the history with Northwestern.
Yeah, there's no gimmies.
No matter how bad they are and how good we are, if we play at Ryan Field on that 8-inch tall grass they've got there, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a slog fest. I saw Maryland play today. They looked really solid against Michigan. They've got tons of speed, and they've got tons of skill on offense.
And a good quarterback. Yeah.
And a good quarterback. Okay,
they gave Michigan a run.
Backup quarterback. Okay.
Yeah, T, like, I would say this, man. What do you expect? And I think it's a good question. And we'd have a couple follow-ups to that. Donovan Fitzsimmons said, you know, I expected OSU to pull ahead in the second half, not the first quarter. T came back and said, you know, you guys think this program is much better than it is. T, to go back to your original question, man, I really appreciate the comment because I think it's a good question. What did you expect? Why are we so upset? I didn't expect us to look like a MAC program.
Right.
Like, this is how we used to look when we played bad Rutgers, right? And that's not what I expected. I expected the defense to compete. I expected us not to give up 8 yards per carry on, you know, against their top flight running backs. And quite frankly, I didn't expect our punting game to look like a disaster. I didn't expect to punt on 4th and 1. I didn't expect, you know, so I think as a whole, this was a shambolic disaster, Hindenburg level game where we fell apart at every aspect. So yeah, I think it's a very fair question, but I didn't expect to win. If you guys listen to the show, I picked Ohio State to win. I picked us to barely cover the spread. So I didn't even pick it to be that close, but I didn't expect us to be this outclassed.
Yeah.
Let's keep going here.
It would be close compared to what it was.
I guess, but it doesn't feel that close. You know, a bunch of by the way, if you don't get your comment on here, I apologize. There's a ton of comments that are kind of different variations of the same. Paul Chryst needs to go. You know, the coaching staff didn't have us developed. So there's a lot of that in here. You know, TM3389, who's had a lot of good support or support of the show a lot, said, you know, that said, Paul Chryst won't get any phone calls from the police, mature kids. You know, like, there is something to the fact that, yeah, I think we all like Paul Chryst. Nice little Bielema knock in there as well. They were going to play Bielema next week. And to this comment, you know, we all agree Paul Chryst builds a good culture. Like, he's a good dude. There's a lot of things he does well. Like, Paul Chryst is not the worst coach in America, but maybe the time has passed him by a little bit, which is, I think, what we've talked about on the show quite a bit between comments, commenter, Scott, I know you've said it. Zach Ramsey, who's also supported the show before, our O-line couldn't do anything until they put the third stringers on defense. It's sad. Scott, what'd you think of the O-line today? Now, granted, we're down two starters. Like, let's also be very fair here. We're playing in Columbus, down two starters. Tanner Bordellini played a lot. He missed a lot of time with an injury. You know, Beach is not a natural guard. He's played tackle his entire career up to this point. Logan Brown he's a five-star in name only at this point. Yeah. Right. I mean, so, and Trey Wedding he's green behind the ears. So maybe the expectations for this group wasn't fair, but what'd you think today, Scott?
I don't think it would have mattered if we had the ultimate Wisconsin all-time offensive line in there today. I thought we were so out-coached, it wouldn't even have mattered. We could have had Russell Wilson out there. We could have had TJ and JJ Watt out there today. We were so out-coached from the get-go on top of the talent disparity. But I don't even think the talent disparity – the coaching from that Ohio State staff – it just blew our doors off, man. They schemed us to death. And the thing is, when Urban was there, they didn't scheme you to death. They just went talent at you. You know, they just brought the talent. Now Ryan Day has brought a different level of scheme, you know. And so I don't even think it would have mattered. The coaching is what stood out the most to me. I was really disappointed with Leonard, man. It was a bummer. It sucked.
There was some weird stuff with Leonard, right? And Zach, thank you for the comment, man. You know, there were, and the announcers pointed this out, but you can see it clear as day. There'd be third and four, third and six for Ohio State. Our corners are just bailing. I mean, they're just giving them 10, 20 that? Yards.
The cushion's there. What was that?
I have no idea. And the pressures felt odd. It's almost like delayed inside linebacker stunts and blitzes where you're never going to get to Stroud. You almost have to put more people to the line of scrimmage or bail out earlier. I'm not a defensive coordinator. I don't pretend to be, but I also don't make $3 million a year. It was an embarrassment. Like, we were on the same field schematically, to your point. And I think that was Leonard hasn't had a lot of them, but this was a bad Leonard game for sure.
Yeah.
Uncultured Barbarian, again, one of the best name of all the commenters. Can't say we didn't expect it. It still burns. I think that's where we're at. We won't beat Ohio State as long as Chryst is head coach.
We won't.
Hard to argue.
I don't think we beat Penn State either. I mean, we haven't so far. When Jonathan Taylor was running for 2,000-yard seasons and Penn State wasn't even that great, we still couldn't beat Penn State. So, by the way, Illinois is not going to be a walkover next week either in Madison. I hope that we destroy them, but it's not going to be a walkover.
They won 31-0 yesterday. I mean, against, you know, a MAC team. I forget who they played, actually.
Chattanooga, maybe?
Not a MAC team then, but they're fine, too. Like,
they beat Virginia 24-3 the week before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy, I'll tell you that much. And Belima's going to – dude, Belima, for all we know, I mean, you don't think coming back to Madison, he's going to pull out everything he can to beat that team?
You know what next week is going to be? And I don't want to turn this too much into a next week game, our next week show, because I'm still pretty upset, honestly. Like, so low-key, really quick, we're all fans, right? Like, we're all fans. I spend my entire week, like, excited for this moment. This is a big game on ABC. And I look forward the entire game. I get a spread of food. I pick out the right beer I want. To get to the point where it's almost halftime and the announcers are just clowning on it. Like, we're seeing highlights of Brutus getting ran over in the end. So screw you guys. Like, this sucks. And again, I'm not – like, it is what it is. Ohio State's really good. But –
dude, I was half expecting like Herb Street's sister-in-law to come on talking about her like last trip to Cancun or something.
Like family albums, right? Like, this was me on the ski list. This is like, it was like a joke. It was a joke. 100% it was a joke.
It was terrible.
Let's keep going on. Nathan Ruffalo, who has been with us really since the beginning, one of the first people that we've ever had comment on the show. So, Nathan, man, I really appreciate everything. Torchio made some nice plays. Yeah, he had a big hit in the second half. That was awesome. I mean, it was nice just to see the fight there. He was a little late on a couple plays, but obviously that interception was a big-time athletic play before halftime. He's good. He just athletically, and this is most safeties, he can't be on the, like most people athletically aren't on that Ohio State, but Torchio did have a good game. I'll give him that. He had some good moments.
Yeah.
Oh, let's keep going here. Like, I mean, it's just like frustrating.
Torchio. It's just so hard to see. It's such a chaos of the senses when it's like this much of a beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think of anything good. That even that 75-yard run was almost like an insult to injury because it is so meaningless.
Well, you love it too, right? So you're watching the 75-yard run and the initial fan. By the way, for everyone listening, I am a crazy optimistic in-game fan. Okay, so before halftime, we get that interception. I'm already in my head scheming up. All right, we're down 24. We bang out a touchdown before half. We go for two, which Chris would never do. Like, already my scenario is not there because Chris is never going to go for two, but we're down three scores if we go for two, right? And I'm like, we get the ball after halftime, right? If we can bang out a score there, go for two again. We're one possession down. We're right in this, baby. And then, obviously, like, Skylar Bell drops a touchdown.
Oh,
like,
God.
And yeah. Herbie is all over this defensive back for making this great. Skylar Bell just dropped that ball.
That was nonsense. That was a drop.
That's a touchdown going into
halftime.
That's
the stuff that really makes me, like, dislike announcers, man. It's like, what are you watching? Like,
that was a terrible one, right? And then, so that's about where my inner fan optimism died. Like, I really, even up to that point, I'm telling y'all, like, I'm like, we bang out a touchdown here, 2-point conversion, which again, Chris doesn't even go for two because he's probably not even doing the math in his head that you're three scores down if you get a 2-point conversion each time.
He doesn't have much fingers at that point, bro.
Right. Like, we saw it against Army. He doesn't go for two when you actually absolutely need to go for two. Regardless, I'm really not trying to turn it into this. I'm upset, y'all. This is a therapy session. Y'all know that if you listen, I'm pretty grounded most of the time. But then later in the game, right, because we're talking about Herbie, Braylon breaks up that 75-yard, and Herbie has to be like, and the backup safety took this, and that backup's in there. I'm like, oh, God, you can't even just let me enjoy this moment. Like, I don't care that's a backup. Just let me enjoy this one, like, slice of Oasis without you mentioning backup safety and linebackers, because our entire starting unit's out there. It's the starting line. Like, anyway, let's get more calm. Actually, I do have to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back into it. We got a bunch more comments. Again, I'm trying to get to everything because this is y'all's show. This is a spot where we can get away from Ohio State fans, although I bet you there's some lurking. You know, screw y'all. Coming up next on Locked On Badgers, all the rest of your comments. We're going to keep talking about this Ohio State game. A lot of season left to go. Maybe we'll even get into a little bit of how do we feel going forward? But first, a word from our sponsors. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, Locked On Badgers. I really do appreciate it. Those get added in after the fact, by the way, if anyone's curious. All right, let's keep getting some of the comments in from everybody because there's a bunch of them, and I really do appreciate everybody coming in, leaving comments. If I don't get to it, I apologize. I'll probably miss some of it because I try to multitask, and some of them are similar takes on the same thing. Chris M., yeah, we mentioned this. You know, we looked as bad as Rutgers used to look. Not even now, but we looked as bad as they used to look when they're playing like us. I agree. RR. You poo-pooed me weeks ago saying Lance Leipold. I don't actually remember that, but I'm not saying I didn't. Maybe I like him now.
Yeah. And if so, sorry.
Yeah, I absolutely may have. I'm not doubting you on that, RR. I appreciate the comments. He's done an incredible job at Kansas for sure. He turned Buffalo around. If you were to ask me right now which coach I would rather have, Lance Leipold or Paul Chryst, yeah, it's Leipold. So
yeah,
100% with you. Let's see a couple more comments here. This is an interesting one. T again, 20 passes from Mertz. So I was talking, we were talking about this in the Discord too, in a game that we trailed. And again, there were some of this was, I felt like a little bit of game script got away from us, but there's a lot of first down runs, even when we're behind. There's again, it feels like Paul Chryst can't adjust at times to the game script when it gets away from him.
Yeah, that's because he can't adjust the game script. I think even if it's in his hands, like, he just is what he is, and it's passed him by. Like, we need him to take like the gold watch and like the plaque and just like, you know, the high fives and smiles and like the last like dinner and the dance with his wife and like go off into the sunset. Like that's what we need. And I don't, and you know, we can try Leonard for a few years. And again, I feel hopeful about that, but we're going to keep having this same discussion time after time after big games. Now, I think we will beat Illinois next week, and I think we will beat Northwestern, and maybe we'll beat Michigan State too. But when it comes to the games where we really feel like we want and have to win, we're not going to win those in general. And we see that now. It's been proven time after time.
Yeah. Now, this is a tough one, man. I'm just, again, I'm so frustrated because there was a time not that long ago when we would play Ohio State and they would beat us, but it looked like we belonged on the field. Right?
Even
it really
during
did.
His tenure. Yeah.
Even, and now it's it, that this was a big game for the Badgers. Make no mistake. This was a big game. And you already had one loss this year. The Big Ten West is going to be tough with Minnesota the way they're playing. We're already down one. Like, it's frustrating, man. Let's throw a couple more on here. Muppy B, I've defended Chris long enough. He doesn't look like he's playing to win. It's time to move on. I wanted to throw this up here because there's a couple moments in this game where I've mentioned one of them, but it just feels like, and Scott, you've talked about this, man. It feels like there's a part of Paul Christ where I know he wants to win. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win, but it looks like it's not as important to him as it is to a guy like Ryan Day. And or maybe he doesn't understand the intricacies of it. Like that punt on fourth and one I talked about. You can't punt on fourth and one down 21 to nothing at the 44-yard line.
I think that's what it is. He doesn't understand it. Like, and again, I feel I don't want to like continue to like insult the guy's like intelligence, but it's just, it's not there. Like we need to bring in somebody different. Like this is going to continue to happen in these big games. He doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it.
And Chris jumping in, big time contributor on the Discord as well. PC coaches not to lose.
Exactly.
It's almost like he gives up at a point. And there's another point later in the game. The game was over. Okay, be very clear on this. But there was a point later in the game where we punted. We were buried pretty deep. We had a bad punt, which was like every punt basically tonight for some weird reason.
What was up with that?
Like, what was up with Vooj?
He usually is booming them, man.
Like, I don't get it. That's why I felt like the whole team looked off, right? Like, if there's one thing we can talk about, it's the Vooj thing. And, oh, man, this is awesome because, Matthew, you're leading me into the point I was just about to make, Matthew Ostrand. So it was late in the game. It was over. We had the bad punt. You know, Ohio State had a pretty good return on it. If you remember, it was another one of those plays where I forget number two's name, Ekbuga. I'm forgetting his name, but he spun off like three Badgers defenders. And, you know, Ohio State had a penalty, though, and Paul Chris declines it. No, listen, the game is over at that point. I get it. But you also still need to make the right football decision.
What was like, that?
It was a shanked punt. And a good Ohio State return, and he declined the penalty. What does that tell your players? I'm sorry. The right decision is the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, good and you would never be
coached down to the end. Like,
you would never be okay with a player making a bad decision, even though a game was lost, right? You would never be okay with that. So why is Paul Chris making dumb football decisions just because the game is over? No, you take that penalty and you repunt it. Like,
yeah.
So Matthew, you and I are thinking the same thing.
Yeah. He makes dumb football decisions all the time. That's why. Because dumb football decisions are his MO. Look at Ryan Day in the first half when anybody who was watching that game knew it was in the bag and they were still going for a score at the end of that first half.
Mm-hmm. Matthew, man, I agree. Like I made that comment in the Discord when it happened, Matt. By the way, if anyone wants to join our Discord, we have a Discord, a lot of discussions there. It's free. We'll put the link up. Yeah, I didn't get to it this week because I was on business travel, but I try to give away free Badger swag every week to just y'all as a way to say thank you. So that's all it is. So please, if you want to join, send me a note if you can't find it. Let's see. A bunch more comments in here. I hope I'm going to get to all of them. Scott, while I find a couple more that I want to give up, I want to ask you, players of the game, is there anybody that you can look back on? Maybe Braylon Allen, even though a lot of those yards were garbage time. Is there anything there? Maybe broader picture. Is there anything good you're taking out of this game?
Not really. No. I mean, it was a dumpster fire. I think, yeah, Allen, Torchio had a couple moments there. Herbig almost had, like, a play. Like, it was a terrible game. It was awful. It was just – it was a dumpster fire, man. Like, there's no way around it, you know, and I was trying to think about that before I got on tonight. I'm like – but, again, it was like this chaos of the senses because it was such an overwhelming defeat. And I'd have to go back and, like, watch it again and really focus in on certain players to, you know, break it down. But I don't really want to do that at this point.
No.
No, I mean, it was terrible.
I will say this. Coaches will often say it's never as bad as you think and it's never as good as you think, right? When you win 60-0, it's never quite that good. And when you lose, it's... if you went back and watched film, I'm sure you'd find individual stuff. Like, I thought Kamoi Latu had some nice physical plays. He got beat on an out route down the sideline, but you can't expect a safety to cover an Ohio State receiver 15, 20 yards down the field and break on the ball with him. That's not realistic, right? I thought he looked the part. He continues to look the part. A physical player, broke up a couple passes. That would be my one dude, honestly. Like, and that's sad, right? Because he had no picks. It's not like he had a game-changing moments. He just looked athletically like he belonged a little bit. Yeah. Right? Like,
I can see what you're saying. I mean, you know, that Torchio pick was nice.
Paul Chris looked sedated. I want to throw this one up there because this is one that we talk about a lot. Scott and I, we've talked about it. I threw something up on Twitter. I'm actually not usually a big I need my coach to show emotions guy because some people show emotions and it's fake, for starters. There is such a thing as fake emotion. Some people show emotions and they're still terrible coaches, right? Like you can yell and scream and be an awful coach. And some people are pretty not relaxed, but – to use Deborah's quotes here, and Deborah's a long time commenter on the show, so I appreciate it. Sedated, and you can still be a good coach. But there were moments in this game where I felt like Paul Chryst honestly looked like he was looking out the window at like leaves falling from a tree. Like, seriously, like in an old folks' home watching the leaves fall. And I needed something. And then the worst part about it is the juxtaposition when they scan to Ryan Day, who is losing his mind over a questionable pass interference call when he's up 21-0, right? And it just makes it look even worse.
Yeah. It's so cringe when they pan the sidelines on Chris, man. Let's just be honest. He's in over his head. We're going to win some more games this year. I don't know how many. I hope a lot. But the guy's in over his head. And when it comes down to like out-coaching another team, and not just relying on like Wisconsin culture and us just battering them to death. He can't do it. It's not in him. It's not in him to out scheme. The closest I think I ever saw him get was that Ohio State loss in 2017 with Hornibrook. I think that was the best game he ever coached. And Hornibrook couldn't execute a couple of those basic passes. But he called a great game that day. And it's just not in him to out-scheme and out-think.
And like you said, Ryan Day's a different animal lately. And he's a different animal for a lot of teams, not just Wisconsin. But the difference was stark today. Cowboys, Chad 5X. Minnesota's the only other team we play that's good. I don't see why we couldn't win out. It's the Big Ten West. I think Iowa – I actually think that this point is probably more on the money. It's kind of like a backhanded compliment, right? Like, we might win out because everyone else stinks. Because Iowa is still – we're not going to score much against Iowa, but they're not going to score much against us, Northwestern, Nebraska.
That game's gonna be so brutal.
Illinois, Purdue, Maryland. Like, we can easily beat all those teams. I shouldn't say easily, but we can beat all those teams.
Maryland has some talent.
Sure. But we do too. Like, I don't think we have talent.
I agree. That's why the schematic problems tonight were so infuriating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Minnesota has looked good. Cowboys, thanks for the comment. This is very easily, or I shouldn't say very easy. What I'm trying to say is it's easy, in my opinion, to find a road where Wisconsin still wins the Big Ten West. I don't think that's unrealistic or unreasonable. Disagree?
I can't imagine us beating Minnesota right now. I hope we do. But they are on another level, man. And Morgan is in a zone.
He looked great today.
Those guys are flying downhill. They are confident. Fleck has them pumped up for every single game, which we don't have that. We don't have that. And Fleck has shown in the last, you know, few games against Wisconsin that, you know, it's like we don't have to be scared of these guys anymore. Like, let's go in and beat these guys. And they don't come out afraid to lose. They come out wanting to win, you know. I mean, they beat us down by, what, like 22 points at Camp Randall a few years back?
Yeah, that game was atrocious.
So was last year's game.
And last year's game was one of the ugliest games I've watched in a long time. It looked like we had no care or desire to win that. Again, not to turn this away from Ohio State, but...
Obviously, I hope that we do. I hope we run the table and do those things.
And then we play Ohio State again?
Oh, God.
Right? I hate to say it, but, like, it's not going to be... You know, by the time we get to that point, let me be real clear, because we're all fans, right? We're all lunatics. I mean, we're depending on what time zone you're in, it's 12 past midnight where I live. So we're all in this thing chatting together, losing our minds over a game we were supposed to lose, by the way. If we end up running the table and winning the West, we will find a way to convince ourselves that a neutral site game with Jack Nelson back, like, we'll be in the game against Ohio State. I guarantee you we'll find some way to make that connection.
Never again. I said I would never do it again now. I can't do it anymore, man.
I want to throw this one up there because this one was brutal. Deborah, again, I saw a couple comments with Cundiff. That's heartbreaking. Like, not only has Cundiff looked great this year, like really good, but he's also a dude who had that horrific injury last year, spent the whole offseason rehabbing. And you can tell.
Like a pro tight end. He looked like a pro talent. Like, he could play in the pros. Now you have to wonder if this is the end of his career. Like, you have to seriously wonder that.
I mean, you could see him word it, right? Snapped, broken.
Yeah. We saw it several times. It's so horrible. So horrible. I feel that was the thing I felt worst about tonight.
I agree.
By far. Yeah.
No, I 100% agree. Because that's a kid that's put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this program. Not a highly recruited kid coming up high school, coming up of Kansas. A late offer. And he's looked so good this – man, that was heartbreaking to see. Absolutely heartbreaking. I saw some comments. I thought these were a little off base about Mertz let him out to dry. I didn't think he'd let him out to dry in terms of, like, let him into a safety. It's just one of those plays. To me, it didn't look like the type of play where they let him over the middle and a safety was just waiting there. It just – the Ohio State defender went low, and it's football.
Yep, exactly. I agree.
M. Chris, defense looked lost. Heads were spinning. You know, we talked about the cushions, but I wanted to put this comment up there. And M. Chris, man, thanks for the comment. Again, thanks for everyone who comments. Thank you so much. I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. I wish I could. Don't take that as a slight, please. There were a couple moments early in the game. I want to move away from the cushions. There were a couple moments early in the game where Ohio State used misdirection, and it looked like we had no idea, like no discipline, no concept of what was happening. They just had there. A better way to put it maybe is that first half, like, Stroud didn't have to be great. He had receivers wide open.
He missed a few throws. Like, he missed some throws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how it could have been. They could have scored 60 easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Day could have named his number.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap this up because we're at an hour. I don't want to keep Scott any longer. I really do appreciate everybody. We'll probably do another kind of reaction show. I want to touch on a couple last comments I got just to make sure I try to get everybody in here. Zach with a good point. Minnesota's played three winless teams and a broken Michigan State team. You know, Chris has to get better. But I think his first point here is what I want to highlight. I want to be careful crowning Minnesota. They have played a pretty weak schedule. I would argue that Washington State and certainly Ohio State are better than anybody they played. Washington State almost beat Oregon today. They look like an actual pretty good team. And maybe that wasn't as bad of a loss. Ohio State's just a buzzsaw. So I think that point has some validity there. I want to talk about that. Let's see. What was the other one I wanted to get in? I'm
seeing some crown Minnesota ever.
By the way, if you see me laughing, because I'm seeing some comments on the side, I want to put in, and I just don't think I should. Let's see. There was one other one, though, I wanted to bring up in here. I lost it. I'm sorry, everybody. There's a ton of good ones, but
yeah,
we're going to wrap it up there. That's about an hour. I really do. Hey, well, let me start here. I really appreciate everyone listening. I appreciate Scott. Thank you so much for coming on, as always. We are smarter because you are here, not because of me, because of you.
I appreciate it.
For all the people watching, whether you're watching live, whether you're going to follow this up on YouTube or on the podcast, please know that I appreciate y'all so much. I appreciate being able to do this with you. This is all about the community, 100% of it. Join the Discord if you want to. We do free giveaways on there. You're able to chop it up, talk more Badger stuff. A bunch of basketball stuff coming up as well, by the way. Nolan Winter just committed. We're going to get Jason Jordan, the Sports Illustrated recruiting director, on next week, I believe. So if you have basketball recruiting questions, please shoot it my way. I think John Garcia will be on again. So if y'all have any football recruiting questions, shoot them my way. Let me know which quarterback you guys want to target. And with that, we'll talk again tomorrow. We'll keep the content coming as always. Illinois next week. Scott, any last thoughts, words, frustrations, optimism, anything else you want to take away from this one?
I mean, I think for us to feel optimistic, we've got to win the next three. We have to beat Illinois, Northwestern, and Michigan State. And if we can do that, then we can look back on this and just be like, as you said, like, we just ran into the buzzsaw. We're never going to beat them ever again. And we just have to come to terms with that. And as long as we beat the teams at like roughly our level, we can live with that. But we've got to win the next three.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose one of these next three, it's bad news bears. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think it's a really good takeaway. I want to finish on this one. Cowboys Chad 5X, another comment. Win or lose, win, lose, or tie, Badger fan till I die.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There are, by the way, a couple of people making Ohio State comments up in here. You're not getting on the screen. So there's not going to be any Go Bucks, OHIOs on here.
Dot the I is like the lamest crap ever.
Thank you, right? Dot the I is, for all those Ohio State fans watching this, dot the I is the most overrated thing.
What is this, 1927? Like,
come high on. School bands can do that.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are awesome. The football team's incredible. You can miss me with that dot the I nonsense.
Dot the I is garbage.
Absolute garbage.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. On Wisconsin, appreciate so much. When you're done here, go check out Locked On Big Ten with host Nate Dickinson, bringing around all the conference rivals. I'm sure for y'all Ohio State fans watching, you can check that out, and they'll break down the Ohio State-Wisconsin game. For y'all Badger fans, like, it's On Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. We're going to talk again tomorrow. Thank you, Scott, so much.
Yeah, thank you.